Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. James and Melissa here with you, and we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there?
Doing okay. How are things heading for you up there?
Not too shabby.
Yeah. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, you know, things are looking pretty quiet. A couple more days of these temperatures will kind of sit in about mid-30s for highs each afternoon. And today, looking at, along with that, high in the mid-30s, some cloud cover, some sunny breaks as well with east-southeast wind 5 to 10. Upper teens, partly cloudy tonight. Mid-30s, breaks of sunshine Wednesday, 16 Wednesday night. And then back to about 36 Thursday, partly sunny. And then cloudy skies Thursday night, chance for snow showers, maybe some light snow on Friday with mid-30s to end the week, mid-20s Friday night, and then more mid-30s Saturday and Sunday as we stay with more clouds and sun, but still pretty quiet stretch by the weekend time frame once again. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not a bad forecast. I mean, we got to just take this while we can get it, right?
I guess so.
Exactly. Yeah, not too bad. Not much to complain about, unless you're a fan of getting that snowpack up here.
Right. We know Mother Nature; she will not let us down. That will be here soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the time, Paul. We'll talk again tomorrow. Take care.
Hey, you bet. You guys too.
Again, a big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, best in the business right there. They join us every morning at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with them again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in just a little bit. Also wanted to touch on some other things, but real quickly, do want to get into our schedule a little bit for today because we have a little bit of breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
The breaking news happened actually late yesterday afternoon. But for you guys out there, maybe not as caught up on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Slight change in the plans for what's coming up today, so I hear.
Yeah. So we did have Congressman Ron Kind set to join us in Morning Magazine this morning. He has a flight issue, will not be able to make the interview.
Oh.
We are in talks with him. We will get him on the air with us soon. Just got to work it out schedule-wise. Do look forward to having the congressman join us in his final year in office.
Yeah.
You know, this should be really good to have a conversation with him. I have about 8,000 or 9,000 questions for him. So
going to have to pare that down, James.
It's probably a good thing that the interview is put off, actually.
Yeah, you have
give
more
me a
time
chance to really
to, yeah,
filter
make
that.
Your list more succinct.
Pam, God bless her, and I do mean every second syllable of that, worked so hard yesterday to try to find a guest for that spot. And I told her, let's not worry about it. Let's treat the half an hour like over the back fence.
Hey.
You know, we would love to be able to have, other opportunities to have maybe a little bit more of over the back fence in there.
And more call-ins.
Right. So what we're going to do today from 10:06 to 10:30 is have kind of a special,
impromptu.
Edition of over the back fence.
All right.
You guys can call in items you're looking for, items you want to sell for that half an hour. Also, if there's a particular subject that you would like to get into, we can maybe do that.
Sure.
Also going to take some time because we don't have the opportunity anymore on a weekly basis to go over some of our local events.
And there's so many.
So much going on this time of year. So that's what we're going to fill the half an hour with. We're going to take our time doing that. If you or somebody you know has items that you're looking for, items you want to sell that you want, been waiting for Saturday to get into over the back fence, you got a special day to do it today.
All right.
So we'll have fun with that from 10 to
10:30. Early bird special.
Yeah, nice. Nicely done. And then at 10:30 today, we're going to welcome in Heather, Jamie, and Carly. They are from the Southwood County YMCA.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about Breakfast with the Grinch and child care programs and a bunch of other great things going on with our Southwood County YMCA. Appreciate the time from them.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later tonight, it's a ball night. It's a ball night, and it feels so good to say that. 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Maryland. That should be a good game. Big Ten matchup right there. And then our sister station, WIRI, Marquette taking on North Central. That should be a good one as well.
All right. You say so.
It's a couple of great games. We got a ball night here on both our stations. So let's dive into this, Melissa. They say everyone loves getting a compliment. But do we really love super generic, low-effort compliments like, you look nice today, or I like your shoes? Here are the three steps you should follow to give someone a compliment they'll actually appreciate. I have to put a timeout in real quick.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a generic compliment. Like, I'll take whatever compliments I can get. Like, I'm not
those particular ones, I don't think those are low effort. They actually noticed your shoes and took the time to comment on them. That's not that.
Who are the people that are getting so many compliments that they can afford to like be like, that's generic. That's not good enough. That's
if somebody walks around and says to everyone, you look great today.
Yeah.
You look great today. You are looking fine. You know, that's a generic low-effort compliment in my mind.
My little sister, who is a half-cartoon character, she's got just the biggest blue eyes and all this. And Jillian loved the word love. And she would say it on everything. Jill, do you love that? I love that. She was like Steve Carell's character in Anchorman. I love lamp. I love mic stand. I love keyboard. James, are you just saying things that are routed? I love phone. I love... She would do this with everything. And eventually she started to realize, even as a young kid, if I use it all the time, it loses its meaning.
Yeah.
I think that like anything like that is a similar story. Mm-hmm. And here are the three steps you should follow to give someone a compliment they'll actually appreciate. Number one, just be genuine.
Yes. Like,
end of story. You don't even need the other steps. Just be genuine. That's not on the list. I'm just pulling this one out myself. If you're genuine, I don't feel like you really need all these things, but I digress. Let's go ahead and get into them.
Okay.
Use their name. This seems basic, but when you use someone's name in a compliment, it sends a signal you're tailoring the compliment to them and not just blurting something out.
James, you look great today.
Didn't feel good. I would recommend make sure you know the person's name. You get it right.
Right.
I can see this going horribly.
Roger.
Wrong. Yeah, exactly.
You look great today. Who's Roger?
I could just see that going very badly. I don't disagree with that though. That seems
because that's genuine. I mean, you genuinely mean it if you take the time to say their name. Mm-hmm. And people's names have power. They mean something when you refer to somebody by their name.
You know, another thing I notice, nicknames. The older we get and the more a nickname is used on us, the more power it has. And the more we kind of, I didn't like being called a scarecrow. I didn't like being called, these things. But as you get older and stuff, some of them have a little more meaning. And then some of them also kind of like have like almost a sentimental value.
Yes, nostalgia.
My sister is pretty much the only person that anymore that everybody else is gone that used to. She's the only one that still calls me Jimmy. And I used to grind my teeth or it was nails on a chalkboard for me or something. Mm-hmm. Now I hear it and I kind of like it. I kind of like being called it.
Maybe when I'm 45, I'll embrace my childhood nickname. I doubt it. Yeah, but maybe, we'll see. Maybe. I'll let you know in five years.
Yes, please let me know. Please let me know how that goes. So I agree. Yeah, I think using the name can mean something. Mm-hmm. Or a nickname possibly.
Sure.
Make your compliment specific. Like instead of saying, you look nice today. say, that color is great on you. You should wear it more often. Yeah, I like that.
I think you could leave out the second part, though.
You probably, thank you. I was gonna, I knew
it's
that.
It's over
bad.
The top.
That was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. They knew that. As soon as I read it, I'm like, I shouldn't read the second part, but
because
I did.
Then it's like, you know, you should wear more of that because the other things you wear don't compliment you.
See, I don't like compliments like that because I think too much.
It's like a caveat.
I'm an overthinker, and I will think that to death. I will, wait, so every other color looks horrible on me, but this one, that's what, you know, that's...
Yeah, right,
yeah, definitely.
Right.
that's funny. It's great right up to the ending. Yep. I like that. Don't praise and run. Don't praise and run. You look really good.
Run away.
Is this basically, because actually I don't mind this one if they're talking about the guy who, because it's always a guy, let's be honest, it's always a guy. They see a woman walking down the street and they're driving by and they have to yell something at that woman.
Mm.
Even though no woman in human history has ever responded well to that. Not a one. Not one time has that ever led to a good date or anything. It's never led to anything good. And nobody can understand you. You sound like a moron. You sound like an idiot. That nobody like they didn't hear it. Whatever you're saying, hey, you look really good today, baby, or whatever you were saying, all they're hearing, and you sound moronic. You sound like a fool. And it's not going to lead to a date or anything.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't believe they mean that as praise and run. I'm believing that's something different. When you give a compliment, stick around and ask a follow-up question. Then listen to the answer. That shows the person you're sincere in what you said and might even want to learn from them.
Okay. Well, I mean, that works for people you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're complimenting a stranger and you stick around afterwards, like, okay, for instance, let's do an imagined situation. Mm-hmm. You walk into Quick Trip and you see a girl that's got just an awesome shirt on.
Yeah.
You like her shirt. Hey, that's a nice shirt. And then you just stand there awkwardly.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
And you know, and she says, thank you.
Yes.
And then you continue to stand there.
Where did you get the shirt? What were you thinking? What was your motivation to buy the shirt? How much was the shirt? Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
How did you decide to pair it with those pants?
So I'm uncomfortable just with this imaginary scenario.
Exactly. Because what would you expect them to give you a compliment back?
Yeah. It does seem, that's really tacky. I like your shirt.
yours is white.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, you're just sitting there waiting for it. Why do I love the idea of this at a Quick Trip too? For some reason, it just really made it for me. Being like, I like the idea of this person going from Quick Trip to Quick Trip, just getting compliments all day. Just that's how they spend their retirement. That's what they do. This did come from a TED Talk, so I do know that some people. Cheryl Ferguson is the author of this. I have seen her actually talk about social norm, a lot of these kind of things before, so she does seem to really know what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I will say that. I like the idea of, you know, complimenting somebody and not necessarily like jetting out right away, but I don't understand what she means as far as the then listen and answer. Like you said, if you were to do this with me, it would be one thing. That wouldn't be a big deal.
Well, no, because I pay you a compliment, you thank me for the compliment, we go on into another conversation.
Right, right. But you're so right about this with the stranger thing. I can't get that out of my head.
You're going to walk up to somebody at a grocery store.
Yes.
And then stand there awkwardly.
Oh, there's such a mischievous part of me that wants to do this now. There's a gas station right across the street. We'll take a break while I go do that. We'll come back.
I'm going to film it.
Do Misty's Menu. Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner here on Mornings at WFHR.
Happy birthday, darling. I've no presents, no fancy cake.
It's time for Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's time to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Let's go ahead and get into our celebrating, and we got two possible qualifiers today.
Ooh, all right.
Gonna need a one or a two. All right, that gives us our qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Carol Kowiski.
Happy birthday, Carol.
We hope you enjoy your day, Carol. Have a fantastic one. Mm-hmm. Make it a memorable one. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Cecilia Laudenbach.
Ooh, happy birthday, Cecilia. Congratulations.
One of my favorite names ever, Cecilia. It's a beautiful name.
Cecilia.
Such a great name.
You're breaking my heart.
We wish you a great day and joy. And you even got a little singing from Mel there. That's pretty good.
Oh,
that's
she's probably heard that song so many times. Just like Jolene.
But not you singing it, though. That's nice. Enjoy your day, Cecilia. And you are a qualifier today.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Now, time to look at our celebrity list real quick here. But I do want to remind everybody before that, get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to us, info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. Like our Facebook page. Direct message us that way as well. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
First up on our list, A Boogie With the Hoodie.
A what? Hum?
A Boogie With the Hoodie.
A Boogie With the Hoodie. Mm-hmm.
He's 27 today.
That's a person?
That's a person. That is an artist. He is a... I'm not sure if he's a rapper or not.
I was going to say, hip-hop?
He's a rapper. Yeah, he's a rapper, singer, songwriter, because there are no more rappers anymore. Everybody just does a little bit of everything.
Oh, it's Wit the Hoogie.
It's like Kendrick. Oh, yeah. I have to admit, I'm new to this gentleman. I did not know him beforehand.
Me neither.
Julius Du Bois is his given name. Johnny Football Manziel is 30. I think we can stop calling him Johnny Football. Heisman winner and Texas A&M quarterback. He played two seasons with the Cleveland Browns before CFL and AAF. A shining example of taking for granted what you have. Sorry, that's just me talking. But Johnny Manziel really had everything like put right into his hands. Like he could have had everything just laid out for him, and could not gotten more in his own way. I wish him well in life.
I
wish him the best.
Him.
But yeah, let's see here. Judd Apatow is 55. Great director, writer. You know, he hasn't done a whole lot. Just the 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, This Is 40, Trainwreck, Anchorman movies, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Pineapple Express, Step Brothers, Bridesmaids. I mean, and just keep going. Judd Apatow is
a lot of them.
Pretty good career Judd Apatow's got going on.
Trainwreck, I really want to see that one.
I didn't think that was nearly as bad. I didn't go. I'm not a huge Amy Schumer person, so I didn't know. But I love Bill Hader.
Okay.
And he was so good in it, and she did a great job.
Yeah, I like Amy Schumer.
I do too. I've grown to like her more and more. And I thought part of the reason was her performance in that.
Okay.
She did a good, nice job. But Bill Hader, he's just great. I love Bill Hader.
How can you not like Bill Hader?
Let's see here. Peter Buck is 66. REM guitarist.
Oh, okay.
I'm a co-writer and worked on Shiny Happy People, Losing My Religion, Everybody Hurts. You know, I think Michael Stipe has always gotten all the credit where he's one of those guys that really deserved a lot more credit. Were you an REM fan?
I performed some of their songs, but I wouldn't say I didn't listen to music when I was a kid, James. You know, unless it was gospel.
Yeah, I get that. I thought I'd ask also because REM is always going to be one of my trivia questions for my radio career. Because when I first started, was with GLX, of course, and I told Panama asked me like, well, hey, you know, is there anything about the station that you don't like or anything that you what are you thinking about the station? And I was always told in those situations to not just give like a generic answer and say, no, I love everything, you know, have something,
right.
And, you know, what have you. And to be honest, I was also kind of on the spot and I was very nervous. I really wanted the job.
Right.
And I go, well, you know, at GLX at the time, they just started playing like Nirvana and Soundgarden and REM and some of these bands. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, I was like, you know, I don't really think REM's classic rock. I don't really even think of them as rock. And he looks at me with the sternest of faces. I love REM. They're one of my favorite bands. Oops. It was quiet for minutes. Oops. I left there thinking I was never going to walk in that building again. did not think I was ever going to have that.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that I actually know a lot of their music.
Yeah. Moving on to another birthday. A very, very, extremely happy 67th birthday to Stephen Wright. Stephen Wright is a melancholy comedian who has always done his deliveries like this, Melissa. I don't know if you are familiar with the extremely great work of one Stephen Wright, but he is one of my favorite stand-up comedians of all time.
Okay.
I kept a diary right after I was born. Day one, tired from the move. Day two, everyone thinks I'm an idiot. whenever I think of the past, it brings back so many memories. I busted a mirror and got 7 years bad luck, but my lawyer thinks he can get me 5. You can't have everything. Where would you put it? It's just like love. I could do this all day. I do it all day. I love Stephen Wright. Great, legendary comedian. May also know him as an actor. He's done some pieces. He was in Half Baked. He was the guy on the couch.
On the couch?
Yeah. Okay. Great actor.
Yeah.
And let me see here. Joe Beth Williams is 74. Diane Freeling from the mom in Poltergeist.
Okay.
And then some people no longer with us. One of the greatest guitarists of all time just did not have a very long stretch. Randy Rhoads, born in this day in 1956, passed away way too young in 1982. Quiet Riot and Ozzy Osbourne guitar genius.
Mm.
Ryan White, the young gentleman who was a young hemophilic AIDS hero, okay. is what they calling him. I don't know the right way to word that. I don't feel like that's the proper way to word his memory, but there's it's a good idea to just mention him and to make sure to remember him.
Yeah.
And Agnes Moorhead, born on this day in 1900, passed away in 1974. Samantha's mom and Dora on Bewitched. My yes. goodness, her deliveries were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they always had the greatest script writing back in the days. Like some shows did, some shows didn't. I don't remember Bewitched like the back of my hand, so I don't remember verbatim. But mm-hmm. I do remember that like her delivery was always so good on that show. She, mm-hmm. I think she was maybe my, if I ever saw it, what I did see of it, she was what I liked on it.
Yeah, she definitely had some zingers.
Mm. And that is going to do it for our birthdays and anniversaries. So we want to one more time wish a very happy birthday to Carol Co. Whiskey.
Happy birthday, Carol.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Cecilia Laudenbach.
Congratulations, Cecilia.
We encourage you to get us more of these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody, and get a chance to win yourself some free Misties at the beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. We will take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news. You go ahead and head on over to Misties. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:32 on the clock. Got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you have a fantastic day out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do a little more Stephen Wright, Melissa.
Okay.
I remember when the candle shop burned down. Everyone stood around singing happy birthday. Sponges grow in the ocean. That just kills me. I wonder how much deeper the ocean would be if that didn't happen. All right, one more. A lot of people are afraid of heights. Not me. I'm afraid of widths. It's so horrible. It's so bad. Can't get enough of them, though. I can't help it. I don't know if this is a good thing or not. Let's figure it out. The authorities in Europe have cleared airlines to provide 5G technology onboard flights, meaning that by next summer, you'll be able to use your cell phone to make calls on flights within the European Union. Okay. You'll also be able to use 5G for texts and for streaming videos. This is a big change. You can't make or receive calls on commercial flights today. Right. You set your phone, of course, to airplane mode, and you have to deal with the plane's Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear when this might happen in the U.S. or other parts of the world. It seems like it should be possible to do it everywhere. But one European official noted that there's not much. There's much less prospect of interference in Europe, where they have a different set of frequencies for 5G, and there are lower power settings than in the U.S.
Hmm.
At first, this news sounds exciting until you actually imagine a plane full of people on their phones, loudly chattering with family and coworkers right next to you.
Oh.
So, would it make flying better or worse?
I'm going to go with worse.
I mean, I think it's almost quick to, it's quick to, we're quick to assume that it'd be worse, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
if somebody's talking on their phone, I mean, we've all experienced that.
Yeah.
The loud one-sided conversation.
I don't know, though. I kind of like, the worst part of this to me is kind of the part of it that is just organic. I like that it's one time we're away from that. That song will not stop. it's one of the few times where we unplug. Like we're right. forced to unplug, and everybody mm-hmm. is, and we're all on the same page. We all have to do this.
Yeah.
Like I like that part of it. So yes. I kind of like the idea of having to do that. I almost don't want that to go away on planes.
Well, no, because then it's also kind of fun when you land, turning your phone on, and then you've got all of these messages waiting for you.
Yeah. There's that part of it, too. I will say I've experienced it plenty of times where the plane is landing and I need to I needed the phone to be working before the plane landed. Mm. It would have been nice to have had that. So I understand that, like, there's some emergency stuff or different things that can happen, especially long international flights. Mm-hmm. When you're talking, you know, being in the air for 10 to 12 hours, that kind of thing.
Right.
Then I could see it being much more necessary. But if you're on a flight to Bismarck, I mean, you're on like a 2-hour flight or something like that. Like, but handle it. You can live without your phone for 2 hours.
I think you can live without your phone for 10 to 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I think you plan ahead.
I think of family emergencies and things like not saying, I'm not saying you're absolutely right. You definitely could. But like in that, it's more likely that something bad could happen in 10 to 12 hours than in 1 to 2 hours.
Well, yes. That would be somebody contacting you because you're in the air.
That's what I'm thinking of.
You would hope you're not having a family emergency in air.
I didn't. Right. Yeah. I didn't word that the way I wanted to. Yes.
No, I know what you meant, though.
You got it right, though. Mm. So would it make it flying better or worse? I think it'd make it worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is, you know what? Just leave it alone. We don't. Mm-hmm. Why is this necessary too? You know, I mean, I don't see why we're pushing things here. Like, we should just leave well enough alone sometimes. I feel like, I don't know.
We're already very, very connected.
Does anybody remember the Airphone? Some planes used to have a phone built into the seat backs and some seats. They were around until like 2006. I remember them when I flew.
Oh, up in like business class or something?
No, just in regular domestic flights.
Really?
They would have these. Yeah. They were rarely used by travelers because they were so expensive.
Mm.
Usually costing like $3.99 a minute or $4.99 a minute or something like that. They'd also drop calls very often. They barely worked. I never got to use one, but I remember people sitting next to me using them.
Hmm.
And they would shout. They were always shouting.
Probably poor connection.
Well, yeah, but it's this thing in us that, like, shouting's not going to make it sound clearer.
No.
But we do it. We do it anyway. It's like, how many of us do this where we're, oh, I got to turn the radio off so I can pay attention.
Yep. I got to shut my music off so I can navigate.
Yep. Oh, I got to figure out what I'm doing now. I got to turn the radio off.
Like, can't see. Shut the music off.
Yes, exactly. I was so guilty of this.
I absolutely do that.
Yeah, I think I did it yesterday. I think I've done it recently. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and take it to the top of the hour. Nothing but fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. I'm just waiting for this to kick in here. There it is. Come on, Glenn. You know what to do. Mr. Glenn Miller in the background there, of course. You may recognize that song, you may not. It used to be one of the most popular songs in the world. That is the Chattanooga Choo Choo by the legend himself, Mr. Glenn Miller, one of the greatest to ever do it. And I use that as a segue to get into some fun, wacky, random, weird facts.
Right on.
That's where we're going with our next segment here and everything. We haven't gotten to do this in a while. It used to be kind of a Tuesday tradition for Melissa and I. So let's go ahead and dive into these.
What you say. Step aside, partner. It's my day.
The first gold record ever went to that song right there. Chattanooga Choo Choo by Mr. Glenn Miller. His record company gave it to him in 1942 for selling 1.2 million copies.
Wow.
The Recording Industry Association of America took over the gold record process in 1958. And that's been done for a million artists. But it all started with Glenn's company deciding, hey, this would be really cool to give him. And so they do this and they started a tradition from it without even intentionally, like, really trying to do that. I think that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
And that song, I know it might sound like I'm alone on this one. I think actually Glenn Miller's work kind of holds up. Like, I don't think you're necessarily
alone on that.
Yeah, there's still people swing dancing. There's people, you know, getting into a lot of that type of music. I still think it's got a swing to it. It's got a little bit of a beat to it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's certainly, obviously, you know, plenty of other music out there that's going to get you moving. But I think it still serves its place. It still has a point in, you know, in time.
Absolutely.
Southern Baptists have 51,379 churches in America, more than any other religious group.
Wow.
That's a big number. I did not.
It is a big number.
Man. Let's see here. A regular serving of kale is about 2 cups and a regular serving of kale is about 2 cups and has more vitamin C than an orange.
Hmm.
Definitely did not realize that.
Kale is an interesting vegetable.
I don't know much about kale. I really don't. Like I don't even know how much of it I've had. I've heard that before. Yes, that's a great line. That's a very that's a James line. You've been around me way too much. It does seem like it gets a bit wrapped up. It does seem like it.
It's an interesting vegetable to add to other recipes. Like I like to chop it up fine and throw it in a soup. Or add it in like with an Alfredo kind of dish. Mm-hmm. Anything you would add spinach to, you can pretty much add kale to. Usually you just want to chop it. It's a bit rougher. It's roughage.
Yeah.
It's rougher than spinach, so you got to cook it a little longer. But if you toast it, if you toss it in oil and toast it in the oven like you would, you can make it into kale chips, which are delicious. They melt in your mouth.
There's not many things in this world I will not eat toasted. I love toasting things. So, you had me at that.
You should try it that way.
I definitely, it sounded really good. I will definitely try that. Number four, here's another one for you. You need a permit in Arizona to feed garbage to pigs.
To feed garbage. Well, why would you feed?
It doesn't seem like you should be doing this anyway. So I guess it is good that you have a permit to do it. Hopefully that keeps people from doing it.
Okay. Wrong.
I'm not familiar with this. I don't know if you would be, Melissa, or not either. So in the computer program, Mavis Bacon, or Beacon, teaches typing from the 1980s.
Yes.
I vaguely remember this a little bit. Mavis Bacon wasn't real. The people who developed the software made her up and hired a woman named Renee Le Espinara to play her for the cover photo. That's interesting.
That's
but
funny.
I guess I don't know how many people really walk around thinking these characters are real. Like there was an Aunt Jemima. Like there was, you know, like the any like there's an Uncle Ben.
There's a Mavis out there that just is passionate about typing.
And I really, I'm sorry. If, like this shatters people's like memories. Right? There is no Carmen in San Diego. Like there is no Carmen in San Diego.
What?
I know. I'm sorry, everybody, but there isn't. I looked. Can't find her.
I wanted to be her when I was a kid.
Yeah. That would have been a good gig. That'd be a good gig right there. They grow up, I get to be Carmen Sandiego. Like that seems like a good fit.
Or Where's Waldo?
Another good one. Continuing with just a couple more random facts, Chubby Checker was born Ernest Evans. Ernest Evans. Hmm. He got his stage name from Dick Clark's wife. Dick Clark's wife as a play on the name Fats Domino. So she was she thought it was like kind of a play on Fats Domino, Chubby Checker, Fat Domino.
The game, yeah.
I never put that together. I've never thought of that. That's interesting. Huh. That's kind of fascinating. Dick Clark's wife gave him that name. I can't let that one go. That's interesting. I Love Lucy was originally sponsored by Philip Morris. So the opening credits for the first season featured cartoon versions of Lucy and Ricky climbing on a giant pack of cigarettes.
I remember seeing that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball record for most home runs by two brothers is held by Hank Aaron and Tommy Aaron. Of course, they combined for 755 of those for Hank and 13 for Tommy.
Way to go, Tommy.
Tommy, it still counts, Tommy. It still counts. And can't mention Hammer and Hank in this state, of course, without giving a nod to that one. That's a good one right there. And the idea of Casual Friday started in Hawaii in the 1960s.
Really?
Yeah, this is where people would wear Hawaiian shirts on Fridays. Eventually, it migrated to the rest of the country. But oftentimes, when you see people in business settings wearing a Hawaiian shirt on a casual Friday, it is kind of in honor of that.
Interesting.
And then there are just people that just like wearing Hawaiian shirts
and have no idea. Fun and festive.
Yes. Nike was originally called Blue Ribbon Sports in 1964, and they didn't make shoes. They were a distributor for ASICS, which were, of course, a pair of shoes.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't start out that way and everything. And boy, the story of Phil Knight and getting Nike off the ground, like it is very impressive. It is really one of those. I find it more impressive than the Jeff Bezos story with Amazon, actually.
Really?
Where, because with that, that's more algorithms and more and very impressive in its own right, but much more computer driven and much more figuring out like. How do I work around this? How do I code this so that everybody can see this at the same time? Little issues like that. What Phil Knight was trying to do was get a shoe company started and building his own shoes, like from scratch. Like, it's really kind of impressive. Like, put aside this whole Nike, you know, conglomerate thing and some of the you know, labor laws and different things that they broke. And just starting off with a man and an idea, a person and an idea, and just getting something started. It's really the American dream in many ways of you know, building something from the ground up like that.
Mm.
Of course, it's turned into a bit of a nightmare in some ways, the company. But, I mean, you know, almost every conglomerate does, unfortunately.
And, you know, I just can't help but wonder how history is going to, you know, whatever, in 100 years from now, what are those companies going to be like if they're still around?
I've heard I've had this conversation and I've heard people talk about this. And immediately I had somebody bring up Henry Ford right away. Like, we look at Henry Ford just fine. I'm like, okay. But I think there's a big difference here of looking at something like that. And like, for one, history. Like, we don't have as much history on Henry Ford as we do on, like, a Phil Knight or a Jeff Bezos or something. We deal with this with celebrities and people all the time nowadays. We've never known more about each other and human beings in human history. Like, it's very easy to, you know, talk about certain people in history that we don't have much ground,
right,
much
that
on.
We don't know.
It's a lot easier to hold them up. But I feel pretty safe in saying that even a Henry Ford or a Mother Teresa or a Gandhi or anybody, you know, maybe they somebody in history thought they were a jerk. Somebody they had a bad experience with or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now that person has a Twitter account and can tell everybody, hey, Mother Teresa did this to me. Or she stepped in front of me in line once or something, you know. Like, we didn't have this stuff. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing, like, to think of. Like, well, how are people going to look at these characters in 30, 40 years from now and stuff? I'm very curious on the side of it. Are we going to come full circle with this and, like, be able to look at people as a whole? Yeah, they were this and this. They were also this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we actually going to be able to get to that point in society? I don't know. I'm this is all just throwing it out there. I have no answers.
Right.
But I think it'd be kind of cool if we're going through all this so that we get to a point 20, 30 years from now where we can look at each other and say they weren't perfect, but they did this and this, and that was pretty cool. Like, we can really take people as they are, and we don't put people on pedestals, and we don't bury people at the second we get a chance to. We have this even barrier where we can look at somebody and just say, hey, they were human.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, we do this to each other, okay. I think we do this to friends and family pretty fairly, but we don't do it to, you know, people that are running companies or celebrities and this stuff. And I'm not saying that anybody should feel sorry for any of those people. but I do think it's unhealthy. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. And that's life. You know, life ain't built on being fair. But I do think that there is a balance that could be better than just, you know, and I do this too. I'm not saying that I'm like better than anybody here. I do the same darn thing. I don't know Jeff Bezos. I have no idea. I don't know what he smells like. I don't know what his favorite music is or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no interest in ever spending 5 seconds around a human being like that.
Yeah.
That's me judging. I'm judging him. I have no idea if he's a bad guy or not.
Yeah.
I can get around him. We have everything in the world in common. I think getting better about this as a society is part of the reason why we're going through these aches and pains right now. All this grumpiness and grinding and growing, it's painful. And we got to kind of go through these processes now to do that.
And I think that we do kind of realize that on a level. I mean, have you read the letter that Jimmy Carter sent out into space?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been circulating a little bit here recently, where it says, we are still learning to get along. That's basically how he, that's not exactly how he worded it, but he said, we're just trying to figure out how to survive on this planet before we can interact with anybody else. Because we're still fighting with each other. I just wonder the perspective that we're going to have 100, 200 years from now and look back at these corporations and, you know, they started from something small, one guy, one idea, and what they grew into. I wonder what's coming next, what they will evolve into that is going to somehow pivot and help the planet that we live on.
Maybe there's some, insight to this and even some hope in this when we're seeing a rash of companies giving their companies up. People running, starting these companies from the ground up and then giving them or giving them away or just putting like the gentleman.
Patagonia.
Thank you.
Yeah. What he did of putting it into a trust that does do things sustainably, puts back into the earth.
It's 1 in 100, but it's still 1 in 100.
It's one.
It's one. Yeah.
And big one.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of small ones that are doing that and trying to find ways to produce things that are you know, friendly for the environment and that are sustainably sourced.
It's a fascinating question, though. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's a really cool question. I just hadn't really thought that in depth about that part of it. I've been thinking about the people, the owners, like a lot of the specific. It sounds like at least you're talking more of the company and that's a whole very interesting question.
Well,
I have not thought about
the whole trajectory from where it started to
see what you're saying,
where it's going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if we've learned anything about greed, enough is never enough. Like the richest people in the world are still fighting to get more money. Mm-hmm. Like it's so that part
bring us back to again how much money was poured into Wisconsin elections,
right?
By outside groups trying to control what happens here in this state.
That's a fascinating idea. I'm definitely going down a rabbit hole on that one. At like 2 a.m. I can tell you that. That's definitely one of those. You just started something on me one.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, audience.
No. I come into work tomorrow, and I'm basically that conspiracy guy. I've got strings all over and everything. I think Terry's in tomorrow. That'd be hilarious for her.
Well, I'm supposed to clean the office today, so maybe I'll help you set that up.
Thank you. Thank you. I could see Terry would walk in and walk
right
out.
Right back out.
She's like, right out. She's like,
and no, James, no, not today.
Not today. No. Sick day. But you don't work here. Take it a sick day. this is a funny one. If you snag one of these, you definitely have to recreate the Froggily scene where when it shows up at the door, at your door. We're talking about the famous scene from A Christmas Story and, of course, the lamp.
Oh, yes. Frigiale. No, how did he say it?
Frigiale.
Yeah.
Frigiale. Yep.
It's Italian.
It's Italian. Miller High Life.
Fragile, that's it.
Gile, thank you.
Fragile.
It's been too long since I've seen it. Miller High Life is selling a leg lamp beer tower for the holidays based on the lamp from the movie.
Beer tower?
Yeah, yeah. They're selling a limited number through their online store this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Each lamp holds a full six-pack, and there's a tap at the bottom you can pour from. Even at $120, they'll probably sell out fast. The leg itself looks a little different. It's based on the Girl in the Moon logo that's been on Miller High Life bottles for decades. It's got a red boot with a red gold stocking. And yes, it does light up. Mm-hmm. It's 45 inches tall, which is a little shorter than the lamp from the movie, but it comes in a box with the word fragile on the side. That's great. You can check it out at MillerHighLife.com. Just shop merch with them. And oh yeah, that's right. You got to enter your birth, your date, your birth date,
yeah, so that they know you're over 21.
Yes, I didn't think about that.
Because you can't just enter whatever date you want.
Yeah. And of course, they don't just go right to it.
Of course not. You gotta search through the page to find it.
Yeah. Because I wanna see what this one really looks like here.
Yeah, if they actually put. So they put, it's just a boot. There's not even hardly a leg.
Yeah.
It's mostly boot.
That's what it is?
It's mostly red boot that goes up to almost to the knee, and then the fringe of the lampshade starts right away.
It doesn't really...
It's a little disappointing.
It is. It doesn't really remind me at all of the movie.
No, it's not a fishnet stocking. It looks like a... almost like a clown stocking.
This feels like they were...
red and yellow.
They were trying to do this, but without, like, doing, like, giving any copyright infringement.
Maybe...
Like, you're Miller High Life. I mean, just go all in and work with the movie company and, you know, make
right.
it. I mean, you got
them.
The money. Come on.
Like, so you actually just, like, pour the beer into it and then you can...
That's the other part of
this. Because it's got a tap on it. How do you clean it?
Yeah. Oh, good luck. Good luck cleaning this thing. Yeah. That ain't going over well.
They're still
going
to sell, though.
Oh, yeah.
Whether people actually use them as intended or not.
Yeah.
They'll still sell.
The tap is right at where your Achilles would be.
Yep.
Achilles would
yep.
be.
Yep, right above the heel.
Huh. And it doesn't look like it pours out that much. Or maybe that's just a glass. Yeah.
Maybe.
Huh.
But, you know, I mean, for the movie enthusiast, it might not exactly hit it on the head. But, you know, if you want a fancy way to serve your beer this holiday season...
Designed to light up any holiday gathering and modeled after the historic and beloved girl in the moon who graced the iconic bottle since 1903. Yes, the Leg Lamp Beer Tower stands profoundly at a glorious 3.5 feet tall. Yeah, I don't know about this one. I don't think
they're trying a little hard there.
I think I'd rather just buy the actual leg lamp and everything and
yep.
just, you know, figure it out or just enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. $120. Nah, no. I can think of a lot. I'd rather buy $120 worth of beer, honestly.
If you've got every other kind of keg dispenser, you know, for beer out there, this might be one to add to your collection.
Yes, and there are collectors out there,
mm-hmm.
so that's a good point. Nicely done. So you are really good at, like, salvaging whatever we... That's pretty good. We will take a break right here. We'll come back, and in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into some good stories of the day, some That Ain't Right stories, and some other fun stuff. I want to get into stars who were rejected by American Idol.
Mm.
I want to get into that one. That should be kind of fun. And plenty more coming up. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.